Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. It's about 21 minutes after the top of the hour, and I'm here with Victoria Bendonas and Connor Cheney, both actors in the play Franklin at Perseverance Theater. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course. Connor, you grew up here, yeah?
I sure did.
All right. Local guy. And Victoria, you've been here before. You've performed in other things.
I came up here about 3 years ago to do Sweeney Todd with Perseverance, so I'm excited to be back in Juneau.
Yeah. And Franklin premiered over the weekend, right?
Yes, we opened Friday night and had performances all weekend, so we're up and running.
Yeah, and more to come. I hear there's some special performances this week, too. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about the play. First of all, what character are you, Victoria?
I play Caroline Crane, who is a present-day researcher who is on a vessel up in the Arctic trying to find the lost ships, the Erebus and the Terror, the two ships that were lost on the Franklin expedition in when they set out in 1845.
Right. And Connor, how about you?
And I play Henry, and I am one of the unfortunate people who is on the expedition in the other timeline.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the story, the history of the story, Franklin. I think most folks probably know by now this play is based on an Arctic exploration led by Captain Sir John Franklin, 1845, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Two ships, 129 people aboard, and all were lost.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And back in England, no one knew what happened for a long time. Some people here knew, or some people in the area of the accident knew. And of course, everyone who died knew what happened to them, but they didn't have a way to communicate. So my first question was, what was the mission of this expedition in the first place? What were they looking for?
They were looking for the Northwest Passage. For years and years, all the countries were out trying to find a faster way to get from Europe to Asia and a faster trading route. And this was, correct me if I'm wrong, Franklin's second expedition to the passage?
I think that's right.
I think it was his second. And basically, in the 1840s, they had charted much of the western part of the passage. But there was still a piece sort of starting from Greenland inward that it was not on the map. Nobody knew what was there. And they thought they were close, and they outfitted these the British Admiralty had outfitted these two ships with all the modern conveniences of the time and heat and tin food, which was unique. And they thought that this was going to be the time that they finally – England was going to be the one to solve the problem of the Northwest Passage.
To punch it through, huh?
Yeah. So it was a huge loss when this expedition just vanished. And for decades afterwards, missions were sent out from America, from Canada, from England, trying to find out what happened to these ships. So it was a huge mystery.
Yeah, and at a certain point, it just got to the point where they were just sending out rescue expeditions to rescue the people that got stranded looking for them.
Oh, wow. do we find out what happened to them during the course of the play?
We learn what might have happened to them. What is kind of interesting, you mentioned earlier about some people knowing what happened to them. What happened is that along their way, Franklin's, as the men were out trapped in the ice, their ships were trapped in the ice, and they sent parties out to try and find a way to be rescued, many of the Inuit ran into them and had encounters with them. And in the European rescue missions, those testimony in the oral history was not always taken well into account as to where they may have been seen or what might have happened to them. They really kind of discounted a lot of those stories. And if they had paid attention to those stories, that may have pointed them in a direction that would have been more correct. And it really wasn't until the present day that all that oral history that the Inuits had kind of got matched up with the researchers looking, Parks Canada, looking for ultimately was looking for the ships. And they have found in 2014, they found the first ship, the Erebus, and in 2016, they found the Terror, the second one. And much of that was due to hearing what the Inuits had to say that about what they had seen and experienced. Mm-hmm. But what actually happened to the men, they're still trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And in our play, it's a little bit of historical fiction of what might have happened that led them to this not happy place.
Yeah. I love the mystery of it all.
It's a great mystery. And that's, I think, what Sam Noble, the playwright, was able to do, which was kind of neat, was to play off of this. There's two timelines. I'll say present day, 2014. The researchers looking for the ship. And then Connor plays one of the sailors in the past timeline. So you're in the present day, there's a singer-songwriter who is along for has a research grant to come on board this research ship. And the scientists, my character in particular, is none too happy to have her there. And so there's sort of this battle between art and science. At the same time, there's a battle between European history and Inuit oral history. And I think much of what's happening in Connor's timeline is what the singer-songwriter is conjuring. Because there's so many theories. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about that, Connor?
There's a lot of theories about what happened. And many of those theories are certainly inform what we see on stage, because we know it's very probable that after the number of years they were stranded, that the lime juice that they were drinking to ward off scurvy lost its the properties that would, you know, allow your body to continue to function. So that they had that going for them, and then their filtration system. They had a water filtration system, which sounds great, but it was also lead based.
Oh.
So they were drinking a bunch of lead in their water, and their tins, the tins were also contaminated with lead as well, and also a lot of the tins had botulism in them. They had a lot of factors working against them, and if I recall correctly, it was also one of the worst winters, even in the Inuit tradition, in the oral tradition. It's known as it was a very hard time. So I think they were stranded. Was it 600 miles from the nearest trading post that they were trying to get to? So it was a tough situation.
Did you say they were stranded for maybe years?
Oh, yes. Many years.
Absolutely. Yeah. They actually, when they set out, they had provisions for 5 years, I believed.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of expected that when you went up there in these ships that you were going to get stuck at least one winter in the ice.
Mm.
That was almost a given. And so they had provisioned them, figuring they'd maybe have 3 years of searching for this passage and maybe get stuck a little bit. But because it was just a historically bad number of winters, there was not much they were ever going to be able to do.
Yeah. And there was also just a tremendous amount of optimism, or you could call it arrogance, really, on the British part. Because a lot of them believed there was what they called the open polar sea, and they thought it was kind of just around the corner because they saw it was harpoon fragments in Wales that they picked up, and they thought that meant there was this large kind of ice-free sea the whales were migrating through. And that if they could just get a little farther down the passage, they'd get into this ice-free sea. But as we now know, that was, very optimistic.
Mm. This is a world premiere. You mentioned the playwright Sam Noble, Samantha Noble.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what motivated her to tell this story in the format that she did?
Let me see. I hope I'm not misquoting her here, but at her talk back, I believe she said that the genesis for this story began as I think it was a 10-minute scene that was between two characters. It was an assignment from her professor. Her professor said to write a scene with two characters during a monumental moment in history and to see how it changes them. And that scene is in the play, but it sort of everything else kind of grew in layers around that. The inspiration.
That was the inspiration. And she had said that she just got it was around the time that they were finding the first ship. It was in the news. I think maybe that's where she got the first idea. And she just became very fascinated with this, with the historical event, both in the past and in the present, and then thought that it might be fun to kind of expand that. And that's where the full-length play came in.
I find it really interesting that this play is coming out the same year as the Princess Sophia opera. It's like I know. Kind of some tragic boat-related
boat tragedies
in the north. But I'm still into it. I can't wait to see the play.
Well, it's a human. I mean, it's such a human story, you know, of adversity and overcoming that, and or not overcoming it.
Yeah.
And I think everybody likes mysteries.
Yeah,
and especially when you get attached to the characters. Connor and I were talking afterwards that by doing this play, it's made us even more curious about the things we don't know about the Franklin Expedition, and we've sort of all been gobbling up the books and
extracurricular materials.
Yes, to learn
even
more.
I'll have to read those too because I'm real interested now. Also, Samantha Noble, she's the playwright. Director is Hannah Wolf. Marion Call did the music. All women, so I think that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Is that unusual for productions like this or other productions you've been involved in?
Sometimes it's unusual to have such a full production and creative staff of women. It's not unheard of, but yeah, maybe a little unusual. Art Roche, the artistic director at Perseverance, actually came to this play because he was looking for a play that featured strong women characters.
Oh.
And through a colleague of his, put him in touch with Samantha for this show. So it may be because that was part of what attracted him to the play that is what inspired him to bring on a strong women creative team.
Mm-hmm. And it's also one of the kind of the youngest teams they've worked with. It's a lot of up and coming artists, which is very exciting to me. And it was also just I'm impressed on the level of professionalism everybody brought to the table.
Absolutely, yeah. Hannah Wolf, who grew up here in Juneau, she's doing amazing things in the world of directing. She's somebody to be watching, and so to work with her earlier in her career is very exciting. And Marion Call, who did the music, she's a singer-songwriter who's making great strides. And I think this was her first experience in creating music for theater. And so that was a new experience. But she's created some beautiful music and a beautiful, I'll call it a theme song, that gets stuck in your head.
Marion said, we're famous on Ghost Ship Nerd Twitter.
Yes, I would say that's just about accurate. All right, so upcoming productions that we want to highlight while you guys are here, upcoming showtimes. Wednesday, 7:30 is Juno Arts Night.
Yes.
And tickets are all half price. Is that right?
Yes, they are. I think it's $15.
Thanks to the Jack. Mm-hmm. Yeah, $15.
Yes, so thanks to the Jack for that one.
That's tomorrow night if you want to see it then. And then Thursdays is Pay As You Can. So
yes, so whatever you can pay. That's what your ticket will cost.
$100.
That's what I was just about to say.
Or you can do more than $100.
You can do more than, yes.
It won't turn you down.
$1 or sky's the limit.
And you, Victoria, and Connor, and some other cast members are going to be making some cameo appearances this first Friday at the Gallery Walk.
Yes.
Will you be in character and costume?
I don't think we will be.
Not these characters.
Yes, not these characters.
I see. Okay. You'll have to look out for them. That's from 5 to 6:30 at Perseverance or Travel Juno?
No, I think it's over.
At the Visitor Center.
At the Visitor
okay,
Center.
Sorry, yeah. I've got my details all mixed up here. And you can ride a trolley to go check that
yes,
out.
Yes, the trolley will take you all around town.
Excellent. And then last but not least, Beer Friday this week. So
Beer Friday,
I know that's
famous
a popular
at
one. Famous at Perseverance.
That's a fun one.
So that's Compliments of Alaskan Brewing, and it starts at 6:30, and then the show starts at 7. And during that time, you'll get a sneak preview of Whale Song, which is the next
which
production.
Which is the next production coming up, yes.
That's great. Well, Connor and Victoria, thanks so much for joining me today and telling me all about the fascinating Franklin story. And I can't wait to see the play and find out all about
it. Yes, do come.
Yes, I will. And thanks again for telling me all about it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Our bindles and our boots.